Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Is that like a maraca?
I don't know what that instrument is.
8 o'clock hour prize. How about this? Copy of WWE 2K20.
Oh, hells to the yeah.
For PS4, Xbox One. There you go. Features over 180 superstars. Get it now on Xbox One, PlayStation 4, and the PC. Rated T for teen. You can win a copy just for listening.
Wow, that's awful nice of us. It is a two-parter. You have to do more than just listen.
Okay,
you have to listen, and you have to dial.
Okay.
That may be difficult for some.
For this prize, that sounds
we'll
cool.
We'll walk you through it. All you have to do is listen for this. Next time you hear that, be caller number
20.
Caller number 20 to 913-576-7610 on your touch-tone keypad.
Or if you have a rotary phone, do that as well.
You could do that, too. That's fine.
Did you see Ellen had a teen on and asked her to use a rotary phone?
How'd that go?
Not well.
Not well? Interesting. Gen Z, by the way, I think is what we call
it. Is what our kids are, Generation Z?
Z? Yeah. I don't know. Maybe. Either way. I assure you they're soft. Next time you hear that, they'll call number 20 to 913-576-7610. I'm going to hook you up with a copy of WWE.
Generation Z for soft. Zoft.
Zoft.
Zoft. Wow. You said the Raiders.
The Raiders.
Oh, my gosh. They're the flavor of the week. Are we kidding me?
It's the week-to-week
the
nature
week
of the
to
NFL. We've established that as the theme of the week, Josh. The NFL is so weak.
Can't help themselves. Mike Silver of NFL Network.
Great news for the Raiders. They play the Bengals this week and then the Jets. Then they have the rematch with the Chiefs. Chiefs, I think, are susceptible to the power running attack, so look for young Jacobs to get a lot of work in that game in Kansas City. And then the schedule isn't that tough afterwards. You've got Titans and Jags at home and at Chargers and Broncos. Mm. Not an unwinnable game there. Doesn't mean they'll win them all, but they're very much in the wild card picture, and they have a shot to win this division, guys.
This is my favorite soundbite of the week right now, because this is when all the national honks are all of a sudden giving love to the Raiders and dogging on the Chiefs. And before you know it, the Raiders might win this division. Stop. Okay? Stop. Take a chill pill, relax with a bottle of whiskey or something like that, and come to your senses and realize what you see going on right now is not reality. The Raiders are not going to win this division at all. The Chiefs, in fact, in 2 weeks when they play the Raiders, will beat the Raiders by double digits at Arrowhead Stadium. I promise you that right now. They will win by double digits in this game at Arrowhead Stadium. And I understand that Jacobs is good. He will be held to his worst output of the season, because this is the time of year where now everybody nationally is starting to dog on this Chiefs defense and say they're no good. Oh, the Raiders are creeping up. The Raiders can't handle success. They have not been able to handle success for the better part of two decades. Not that the Chiefs have been the best at it either, but the Raiders can't handle success. All this talk about them being 7-4. I don't think the Raiders are going to be 7-4 when they come in here. They'll beat the Bengals, but then they got to go cross country and play the Jets. And the Jets are hot right now. They beat the Giants, and they're thinking playoffs.
You need to pause on that one.
But what's the record? Look it up, Ryan, of West Coast teams going east and playing those games.
I will not look that up.
But it's fairly lopsided to the East Coast teams. West Coast teams traveling east don't normally do well.
Soft.
So the body clock isn't right, blah, blah, blah. So we're giving the Raiders two wins automatically and saying that they're going to be tied with the Chiefs when the two teams meet at Arrowhead Stadium on December 1st. They very well may be tied with the Chiefs. I don't think they will, because I think they lose to the Jets. But the Chiefs are going to Rickroll them in that game. And this, to me, right now, is like everybody's now starting to they realize that, like, Kansas City is the better product, but you start doubting that good product, and you start kind of cheating on that good product. You say, oh, let me try the off-brand cereal right now. I think it's going to be better.
The off-brand cereal is awesome. And then that's a bad example. The off-brand
cereal is off-brand cereal is stale.
No.
It tastes like styrofoam.
Nope. They're all great.
Give me the Honey Nut Cheerios.
They're better.
I don't want honey-flavored circles.
Most are better.
And then you come back to the name brand and to the team that you know is the best, and it's the Kansas City Chiefs. It's hot take central right now to dog on the Chiefs and to say that they're no good and the Raiders are coming. And, of course, it's coming from NFL Network, which is trying to keep you interested in the Raiders right now for whatever reason. It's not going to happen. Stop buying the hype of the Raiders. Stop doubting the Kansas City Chiefs. And all of these people nationally are going to have a nice big poop burger to eat when the Chiefs crush the Oakland Raiders on December 1st.
They might come here 7-4. I'm not saying that they won't, but I don't believe they're winning.
Not a chance.
You know what I mean? So you can win the next two games and not trip on one of them. You might trip on one of them. You might not. I think you don't. But you come here 7-4 when you're not winning. So they would have to hold Josh Jacobs to 44 yards though.
That's probably not going to happen.
The Chiefs defense,
Chiefs will be up 14-0, and Derek Carr is going to have to throw the football.
You said they'd hold him to his lowest output of the year, 44 yards.
Okay. That's a challenge I'm issuing to the Chiefs.
He ran for over 8 yards per carry in the first matchup, despite the fact they only scored 10. But he was 12 carries, 99 yards.
That's pretty good.
12 carries only, though. They limited his carries. Nice job.
Over eight yards a carry.
Well, because the Chiefs got out big in that one, right?
Hold him to 44, you done something.
Yeah. They held Dalvin Cook to 70-something, right?
He's been held to under 70 yards just twice on the season.
Who's that? Jacobs?
Josh Jacobs.
It'll be a third time.
He gets a lot of handoffs. Volume.
He will not, because the Chiefs will be up 14-0 in the first quarter, and it will be panic time at the disco.
That's not going to stop anything.
And they'll start throwing the football, because that's what John Gruden does. He panics. He's a panicker.
What crystal ball do you have over there?
I've got my head. I don't need a crystal ball.
You had me until the generic cereals, which are fantastic.
Well, what would be another? You didn't like the other analogy.
Rich. Yeah, I didn't like the other one.
It's been a tough morning for analogies.
Yeah. The one you threw out last night versus the that I kind of mixed versus the cereal. I'll take the cereal one. Rich Gannon dropped by the drive here on 610 Sports Radio. And speaking of stopping the run, well, Chiefs haven't done that very well, have they?
You mentioned the Vikings game. That was huge, what they did with Dalvin Cook. You know, I keeping him, I think he was under 70 yards, whatever it was. That's significant, you know. But you've got to do it week in and week out. And, you know, you can't let Derrick Henry, who's, you know, I'm not going to say a one-trick pony, but, you know, he's kind of a one-cut and hit it. You know, he doesn't have that great perimeter speed. He's kind of a build-to-speed type of player. But 188 rushing yards, is just, you're not going to win a lot of games with.
Thank you, Rich.
And it wasn't fancy. That to me is the most glaring part of that, where it's like, yeah, Henry just kind of puts his head down and goes, and one cut and gone. If they can stop the run consistently, and again, they're going to face good running backs again down the stretch, right?
Yeah.
It's going to have to be something that is a point of emphasis week in and week out, not lip service to stop the run. They legitimately have to get better at it. Last week was a step back. I'm giving you – I got confidence in you still, all right, that you're going to get better defensively. And you're going to be tested this week, man.
Sure.
Monday night with those two running backs, maybe more so out of the passing game.
Oh, if San Diego starts throwing the football, they're buffoons.
I don't think they're going to commit to running. But
I don't think they are either, which is fine. The Chiefs will run away with the game.
But the Chiefs have had some problems, you know, covering the running back in the pass game. So the running back will be a major factor again coming up on Monday. Another opportunity to prove you're better at doing that.
Right, and I think there's a lot of folks that are doubting the Chiefs going into this game. You can watch it with us on Monday night as well. We'll be at Winning Streaks at Harrah's. The three of us are going to be up there hosting the watch party. We want you to come out and watch the Chiefs with us at Winning Streaks inside Harrah's. Ryan will eat 50 wings for you, and there will be all kinds of other great food specials
for himself.
Yeah, he's committed.
He'll put away those wings 50. For himself.
That's lunch
as well. Also, players only show tonight at 6. Danon Hughes, Joe Mays tonight at 6 here on 610 Sports Radio. Getting you set for, of course, Chiefs and Chargers coming up on Monday night. Did we have a winner of the game?
Are we fighting over who won, Ryan? What's going on?
Joe and KC wins a copy of WWE 2K20.
As
pretty cool.
As generic as we can get.
Pretty cool. Pretty cool. Yeah. As far as I know, Ryan
changed the man's name.
Joe and KC. Ryan, son of a guy. I know him.
Ryan might have pocketed this thing. I have no idea. But that's your 8 o'clock hour winner just for listening. Nick Costos, Joe, our radio.com sports betting insider, gets you set for the Thursday night game and the Monday night game next.
Fesco in the morning.
I like how he called a traffic issue a spoiler. Unique way of saying there's, yeah, there's a traffic problem, a spoiler. We'll talk with Therese Paylor of Yahoo Sports coming up at 8:30. Never a shortage of topics to talk about. Certainly the Chiefs, Mexico City, Chargers, the West, and oh by the way, some football tryout coming up on Saturday as well that continues, yeah, to garner news. And we'll see as we get closer and closer to Saturday how this story continues to change involving Colin Kaepernick.
It'll
and
be
if
very
this thing
interesting
happens at all,
right,
by the time it's all said and done,
it's going to be a who's who of mid-level scouts watching this thing on Saturday.
And will that be good enough
For who? For me? Fine.
For you?
Well,
yes.
Yeah.
For
who goes party to watch anybody train?
The parties involved.
Yeah, if it's not good enough, then
certainly an intriguing story. Nick Costos is on the line, radio.com sports betting insider, host of You Better You Bet, brought to you by the midsize mattress from Mercedes-Benz. You can hear Nick on You Better You Bet every night on the radio.com app and website.
And Nick, where's your money on which team where Colin Kaepernick will end up?
Well, I'm not sure. Like, well, I don't know what the XFL team names are, but I would give you one of them. that guy's legitimate. I feel like some of the team names are really good. So the Seattle Dragons, something like that. Let's go with the Seattle Dragons, I think. But
all right.
Like, he ain't getting signed by an NFL team this year, maybe for next year, but, like, no NFL team is bringing him on this year. So if you were like, I don't know if they're actually signing off of this, I'm sure that there are. Like, I think there's a chance he could sign next year, but no chance for the rest of this season.
All right, we got Thursday night football getting ready to start. The NFL Week 11 is upon us. I, for whatever reason, maybe because I'm nostalgic that way, I like Browns and Steelers. I like the fact that it's going to be in the snow. I don't have a dog in this race other than I hope Cleveland loses this game. Pittsburgh's playing some really good football, man. They're hot right now, one of the darlings of the NFL all of a sudden. Where are you putting your money tonight?
Yeah, I think it's, and I'm with you, man. I think this is going to be a fascinating game to watch, and I'm actually really excited for it as well. I think as far as the sides are concerned, that there was a legitimate argument to be made in favor of either team tonight, right? So, like, if I had told you, for instance, before the season that in this game you would be getting the Browns, which is a 3-point home favorite, not against Ben Roethlisberger-led Steelers, but against the Mason Rudolph-led Steelers, you'd have definitely bet that. No matter how you felt about the Browns over-under win total coming into the year, that's a bet that you would have made. So I think you can make the argument that the Browns coming off the win on Sunday against the Bills, where I have to acknowledge I like what Freddie Kitchens did with his deployment of Kareem Hunt, actually showing some good coaching for once. I think there's an argument to be made that the Browns are the right side of this game. But then conversely, you look at what the Steelers have been doing defensively, what they just did this Sunday to Sean McVay, Jared Goff, and the Los Angeles Rams, and the fact Browns offense, despite the win on Sunday against the Bills, still has yet to break out. So I think there's a case to be made for either team as far as the side is concerned. So the angle I'm going to take tonight, guys, I'm going to go under the total. It's 41.5 right now. 41 is one of the key numbers that you look at when we're handicapping totals in the NFL. And I'm going to go under that key number of 41.5. I like both defenses in this spot here. The Browns have not done enough offensively to make you think that at all if they're going to be able to explode in any game coming up here. And we know the Steelers, Mason Rudolph is just a dump-off machine with James Conner back. They're going to keep the ball on the ground, grind the clock out. So I'm going to go under 41.5 tonight with the Steelers and the Cleveland Browns.
Why is 41 a key number for handicapping?
Man, I could give you like all the mathematical reasons, but I mean, I'm not a mathematician. All I can tell you is that we have 41, 47 is another, 44 is another, where like mathematically, like these are where the scores will land more often than not, or those key numbers that get referred to in the 40s in the National Football League. There are a lot smarter math people than me that I think could probably give you a real explanation as to why. All I can tell you is that those are the key numbers that everyone looks at to say. If a number, by the way, it's 47.5, that makes a difference. Because 47 is a key number, right? So if you want to go, if a number is 47.5 and you like a game go under, you're getting a good number at 47.5 because that's a key number. Same thing with 41, same thing with 44. So I'm gonna take that half point, 41.5, and I'm gonna go under that number.
It will not be the Mason Rudolph be Baker Mayfield college over by any stretch of the imagination. These two teams played a shootout.
Oh, no. I mean,
Okie State
not,
and Oklahoma.
No, this is not Oklahoma. Yeah, this is not Bedlam. No, this is the opposite of whatever Bedlam is going to be tonight in Cleveland. Yeah.
All right, before we get to Monday night, because we all have to wait for Monday night. It's so far away from things. But I know a game you're keeping an eye on, Bills-Dolphins?
I had said, you know, I think on this show and other shows, obviously, that I do friends don't let friends bet on the Miami Dolphins. Well, I think at this point, guys, if I'm going to be a good friend to you guys and a good friend to the audience, I think I actually have to say friends let friends bet on the Miami Dolphins because the Dolphins have covered in five straight games and have won the last two outright here. And we're getting the Dolphins right now as a six-point home underdog against the Bills. We remember when these two teams played about a month ago, or maybe a little more than a month ago in Western New York, the Bills were a 16.5-point favorite in that game, or 16, and maybe it closed around 15, whatever it was. And Miami went into halftime with the lead, lost by 10, but covered the spread. You know, they were in that game in the fourth quarter, and now we're getting them as a six-point home underdog against Buffalo. The Bills are a team that I'm going to be looking to fade down the stretch of the season here, and we give Sean McDermott a lot of credit for getting this team to where it's at in the standings right now. But, I mean, like, does anyone really believe in this offense, like, down the stretch of the season? Like, this is not, like, a legit 11-5 or 10-6 football team. So I'm looking to fade the Bills whenever I can down the stretch of the season here. I am not saying that the Dolphins are going to win this game outright here, but I think the Dolphins should be able to do enough to fall inside the number here. And again, like, this is partly my take here, but I always want to give you guys, like, the best information I can here on the show. And for hosting You Better You Bet throughout the week this week, we have pro bettors, we have odds makers on. And one of our favorite odds makers, my buddy Dave Sharapin of CG Technology, comes on the show every Monday night. And he gives us a value pick in the NFL every week, and he gave us the Dolphins this week. Now, the value picks did not work well last week with the Bengals. Everyone was on the Bengals this week. That obviously did not go well. But you can't win everything. So I feel pretty confident about the Dolphins this week. So we'll see what happens. I will be taking those points with Miami as a home dog.
All right, we got the Chiefs and Chargers in Mexico City on Monday night. I know there's a lot of antsy people with the Chiefs right now. Where are you putting your money?
I'm worried about this game, man, as far as the Chiefs are concerned. I really am. And, you know, the offense is obviously great, and there's no questions about Patrick Mahomes. And, like, if anyone had any questions, I think he answered them in a resounding fashion this past Sunday in Tennessee against the Titans. But, like, you have to look at what the Titans were able to do in the run game against Kansas City, what teams are going to be able to do against the Chiefs. The defense just isn't good enough. And, like, I'm not being a hater when I say that. I know there are Chiefs fans that will probably think, like, oh, like, this guy hates my team. I love the Chiefs. Like, I love Andy Reid. I love Mahomes. I would love to see this team make a deep playoff run. Like, nothing would satisfy me more as just a football fan than if the Chiefs were able to beat the Patriots in January. I don't know if I see that happening, and I'm worried about them this Monday night because even though the Chargers didn't get the job done on Thursday night against the Raiders last Thursday, we know the strength of this Raiders team on defense is being able to stop the run, right? So it's not like Melvin Gordon and Austin Eckler were going to grind it out for 200-plus yards like they did against the Packers the week before. But the Chargers now, coming off the mini-bye, basically, that they had off that Thursday night game, I think they're going to be able to run the ball on this Kansas City defense with Gordon and Eckler, and Melvin Gordon is finally in game shape now. He's looked good. How are the Chiefs going to stop these two guys? So I think there's definitely a very, very good argument to be made that the Chargers will be able to control the clock in this game. I think the Chargers are going to score points on this defense. I'm not saying the Chargers are going to win the game. The Chiefs could very easily win the game. But with Kansas City guys over a field goal right now at -3.5 or -4, depending on where you're shopping, I got no choice, unfortunately. And I mean that sincerely because I would love to see the Chiefs make a big run here. I have to take the points here with the Chargers in Mexico City on Monday night.
I don't think I like your attitude.
Fair enough, man. Like I said, I hope I'm wrong, and I mean this, guys. I will always. You can say many things about me, but I am not a liar. I would love if the Chiefs were able to get it done and make a deep run in January and February. I love this team. I love Mahomes, and I think the Chiefs fans are awesome. And the fact that they haven't won a Super Bowl since Len Dawson was the quarterback, I think, is an absolute shame. So I would love to see it happen, but I think that there is legitimate cause to be concerned on Monday night. I don't think this defense is going to be able to stop Gordon and Eckler in the Chargers' run game.
Nick Kostos, we'll talk to you next week.
Wishing you guys minimal sweats winning bets and the absolute very best of luck. Appreciate it.
There you go. Nick Kostos, our Radio.com sports betting insider, brought to you by the midsize mattress from Mercedes-Benz. Again, go check out Nick on You Better You Bet every night on the Radio.com app. Give it a listen. He didn't make any points that I completely disagreed with in that matchup either.
I disagree with everything that's negative against the Chiefs.
I think I could see the scenario in which you described happening. Which,
sure you can, and you don't want to think about that.
I do not.
Mid-sized mattress, a real nice van as well. I was looking into it.
You need a van now, don't you?
Oh, I mean, we have a van now, good. But I mean, whenever we...
When you move into Johnson County with that minivan.
I am not going to move to the Kansas side ever in my life.
You say that. You can never say never about anything.
I will say never about that.
Oh, okay.
Say never about that.
I'll never live in Wichita either.
Can't see you trading your pickup for a Mercedes. That's just me.
I mean, it's a really nice minivan, though.
Yeah, I feel like that.
Starting at $38,000.
Big story coming up. And Therese Paylor of Yahoo Sports, our 610 Sports Radio NFL insider, drops by for his weekly visit next.
Fesco in the morning.
This half hour brought to you by Santa Fe Auto Sound, Kansas City's home for car audio since 1967. One more. We could discuss that coming up in a few minutes. Another edition of Doting on Mahomes as well. We'll talk with Therese Paylor of Yahoo Sports, our 610 Sports Radio NFL insider, momentarily. Time now, though, for the big story.
Everyone, I'm sorry for the delay, but the big moment has finally come.
It's the big story.
This may be the biggest thing that's ever happened.
If it's what you're talking about, it's what we're talking about.
My God, are you still talking?
On Fesco in the Morning.
It's news, but it's not, but it was interpreted as such yesterday, if that makes sense, Fesco.
Well, of course. I mean, the chairman CEO spoke, and I think at times people, you know, don't dig deep maybe into some subjects or whatnot, but to me, this was like,
Guilty. Chiefs chairman CEO Clark Hunt doesn't speak a lot, a couple times a year, maybe. So he's asked about Patrick Mahomes.
Correct.
Gonna get that deal? Gonna get that long-term deal thing done?
Well, we're certainly excited about the opportunity to extend Patrick's stay with the Chiefs and hope that lasts his entire career. It's probably a little bit premature to be talking about a new contract. Everyone knows the first opportunity we'll have to re-sign will come at the end of this season. But that's a decision that we'll have to make with his representatives, whether this is the right time or perhaps a year from now.
Are you going to sign him or not?
Yeah, you're going to sign Patrick Mahomes.
You're going to pay him $200 million or not?
I just don't.
We are certainly excited about the opportunity to extend Patrick's stay with the Chiefs and hope it lasts his entire career.
Correct.
You sure that is like Clark Hunt intends to sign Patrick Mahomes to a career-ending deal.
That's right.
Or same old, same old. But he can't. Then he did throw in the caveat. Well, we can't even talk about that until after this. The first time we could do that would be after the season is over. So we'll sit down when the time is appropriate, and we'll get to this whole thing.
It, to me, is an interesting story. I don't think it's really news. We know Patrick Mahomes is going to be a Chief for as long as the Chiefs want him to be a Chief. There's no doubting that at all.
I think there's sometimes reassurances that need to be made that, like, if you want a player, that player is going to be with you. Right?
Yeah.
Barring some strange, unforeseen circumstances, that guy's your guy.
I think because we sometimes live in the baseball realm of things where guys are able to leave after 6 years. You're not
groomed and moved on.
Yeah, you're not allowed to leave in the NFL if the team doesn't want you to leave. Like, they got it set up. And when Clark says this year or even next year, I think he's factoring in the back of his mind, Chris Jones, to me, is the number one priority right now for this team, because time is of the essence with Chris Jones. Time is not of the essence with Patrick Mahomes. Patrick is more valuable to the overall team, obviously, but Chris Jones is your best defensive player. And if you lose him, boy, how bad does this defense then look, you know, going forward? So I think Chris Jones right now is the bigger concern for the Kansas City Chiefs than Patrick Mahomes is. But Mahomes isn't going anywhere. As long as the Chiefs want him here, he'll be a member of the Chiefs.
There's your big story. Clark Hunt, speaking to the media yesterday, also said that the field's fine.
Yeah, the field is good in Mexico
City is fine. No concerns like there were last year. Correct. They got this thing taken care of. The game will go on as scheduled in Mexico City coming up on Monday night.
Yep.
Time to chat with Therese Paylor of Yahoo Sports, our 610 Sports Radio NFL insider, brought to you by Aristocrat Motors, Kansas City's home for luxury automobiles for over 50 years.
Yeah, Therese, let's just start it there with that Mahomes, you know, long-term lifetime deal here in Kansas City. Chris Jones coming up on a deal as well. I think you get Chris Jones done, then you get Mahomes done. How do you feel about that?
I think you do Mahomes first, and here's why. The longer you wait on quarterbacks, the more you end up paying. That's just all there is. Like, and if you're the Chiefs, you already know it'd be $200 million. But do you really want to wait to see what another 12 months of quarterback contracts could bring? What's Dak Prescott going to sign for? Who knows? It'd be more than Carson Wentz. Whatever it is, we know Mahomes is going to get, like, more, like a percentage more than the next guy. Mm-hmm. He'll be the highest paid, like, maybe player ever, but the problem is, like, that number is going to rise if he has to wait like another year. So, you know, to me, you already know you're going to do this. You don't want to get into a situation where, like, you put it off and then, like, you give opportunity for, and I'm not saying this would happen, but there is a scenario where you put it off too long and, like, he gets mad at the team about something.
And then, like, oh, okay, well, all right, here we go. I got a little leverage now. You can just franchise tag me 2 times, and then what? What are you going to do? Mm-hmm. So when you have a jewel like this, you have a talent like this, I think it's always, especially at this position, it's the number one priority to me, and I would do it as soon as possible. And I think not doing it as soon as possible would be a tactical mistake.
Okay, let me ask you this, though. What is the benefit for the quarterback to take this deal? What's the benefit for them to sign right away and not want to wait it out, especially with the new collective bargaining agreement coming up?
See, that's security. See, that's security if he wants to go that way. And that's the thing. You know, he's the MVP. You know, he can make this choice. You know, if he wants to play out another year on the regular deal here, he can do that. But just know there's a great big difference between what he'd make on an extension, mm-hmm, and what he'd make on his like rookie deal. So, you know, he could always flip around on it and say, yeah, I want to wait till after the CBA. Like, mm-hmm, he could do that. Just know that if he does do that, though, that price is going to skyrocket. So, again, that's why, like, if I'm the Chiefs, I try to do it with them as soon as possible.
Well, and I understand that from an organizational standpoint. You wanted to do this yesterday and get this all taken care of. But from a player standpoint, it takes two sides to tango. If the Chiefs are ready to go and the Mahomes camp is going, let's wait a second here. I mean, you can't force the guy to sign the deal.
No, you can't do that. You can't do that. But, you know, again, if you can do it, your question, if you can do it, which you asked me which one I would rather do,
right?
And that is the priority to me.
And if you do that one, does that prohibit getting Jones done as well?
No, I mean, there's some cap space that can be cleaned up after the season, so I think they could do both. You know, it'd make it tight on potentially free agency. You're gonna have to hit on your draft picks, that kind of thing. But I do think there's a path to get both things done. Because remember, like, the first year of, like, extension, the first year of, like, new deals and stuff, that cap number is always, like, really low. And the Chiefs' cap situation actually isn't bad. You know, they're going to be able to carry over, like, $20 million to next year. So, you know, that would be helpful. You can release some guys, create a lot of money. I think they'll be fine.
Therese Paylor with us here on 610 Sports Radio. And I guess the big news this week of the NFL was this Kaepernick thing that's going to take place on Saturday.
Or will it?
Or will it? Will he be happy with who's there? I'm just going to say this. Colin Kaepernick thing on Saturday, your thoughts?
I think I know yours. I don't know. It feels a little fraudulent to me.
Yes.
His representation was given 2 hours to make a decision. They were holding it on a Saturday, which is absurd. Because the people who would want to evaluate that, they might be traveling the games on set. That's when teams travel to road games.
Especially at 3 o'clock on a Saturday. That's like when every plane leaves, you know?
Exactly. So if this was a real thing, they would have done it on a Monday or Tuesday. So, you know, look, I'm not placing blame with the player, obviously. And this is the NFL trying to clean up something that remains like a public relations nightmare. You know, they're trying to clean it up. The execution's been poor. It's hard to imagine this is a good faith effort.
I don't feel like it's been like a public relations nightmare recently, though. I think by this announcement by the NFL, they've kind of recreated this public relations nightmare. Almost like they promised him a workout before the end of the year, and we're here at Thanksgiving, and they went, oh, my God, we forgot to do this.
Yeah, you know, it is a little, it does feel that way, that they kind of created this, right? Because they've just created a whole cycle full of Kaepernick stories for no reason, basically. Except, like, every once in a while, like, you know, a team's quarterback could go down and somebody bad would come in. They'd be like, oh, Kaepernick could do it, you know. And if that just continues to, like, bubble up and, you know, occasionally, like, people, you know, he's put out stuff saying, hey, I'm still here, and that, like, that like brings like more attention to it. But, you know, in general, like, them going through this has only brought like more negative stories. And most people are hammering the NFL right now. Like, they're taking kind of a public relations kind of nightmare on it. But no, like, come on. Like, the last 2 years, like, people have been, you know, it seems like every 3 months there's a cycle where Kaepernick stories and the NFL gets destroyed. Like that, you know, every 3 months. Now, has it been recent? No. Like, I think the last time was feel like it was a couple months ago. I can't remember what it was for. But, you know, as long as he's unsigned, if there's been every 3 months or so, something happens, his name gets brought up, and people destroy him for 2 or 3 days.
In your gut right now, does it go down? Does it happen? Does the workout happen Saturday?
I don't know. It feels like there's certainly not enough. It feels like there's enough ways for, you know, this thing to go south still, right? It definitely feels that way, just from the hastily planned aspect of it to, you know, whether or not this is real. So, you know, who knows? I know this, man. If it does happen, and Kaepernick goes through it, right, he has some built-in excuses for, like, it not working out, too, you know? Like, so it'd be like, hey, you know, I went there, I did what they say me to do, no one still assigned me, you know? And then, like, enough people are skeptical about how well-intentioned the NFL really is that, you know, even if he didn't get signed from there, people wouldn't think it was a real shot anyway. So, you know, who knows, man? Who knows? I'd like to see the guy get a real shot, though, and, you know, take it from there. But this has been a ridiculous situation in many ways, and I just wish there was more common sense to it.
Talking with Trez Paylor of Yahoo Sports, our NFL insider here on 610 Sports Radio. We have the ability to criticize the defense always seemingly here in Kansas City because of how bad they've been over the last 2+ years. But to me, in the second half of that game against Tennessee, Travis Kelce was invisible. LeSean McCoy obviously did not play in that football game. Let's start with Travis Kelce. Where was he in the second half of that game? Why didn't they utilize him at all?
You know, I'm not really worried about the offense to be honest. Like, they were putting up points, and they were moving the ball. I mean, they got the ball back on that last drive, and, like, Mahomes did some, like, incredible stuff. Like, I get it. Like, I understand it. Like, you know, I have a little bit more issue with some of the, like, personnel decisions and the way they went backwards against the run. I mean, they scored 32 points. That should have been enough. Like, guys, I watch a lot of football, you know, hours and hours. Like, Tennessee's offense sucks. Okay? Like, it sucks. So, and to, like, not know, like, what was coming, you know, they're going to run the ball. It's Derrick Henry. Every time they face Derrick Henry, it's, you know, 150 yards. You know, so to kind of not key in on that, it's hard. Bob, you understand? It's just kind of hard for me to place blame anywhere other than, you know, the defense and the special teams and losing fumbles. They've lost 9 fumbles. That's the second most in football. Like, these are things that if they don't start getting corrected, we're going to be talking about them in January, because I've seen this happen far too many times after a loss in January when it matters.
Well, I think from an offensive standpoint, 75 plays is way too many. I think Andy has done one thing terrible this year, and that's play complementary football with his defense. They put the ball on the ground at a higher rate this year than they have a season ago, and they're scoring a touchdown less on offense this year than they did a season ago. I think 75 plays on offense, Terez, and this is just my opinion, with that defense that you have that can't stop anybody is a crime. You've got to slow things down and grind things out and run that clock.
Yeah, I mean, it's about putting up points. Like, football is about completing passes. So if you got that many plays, that means that you're having success. That means if you got 70, that means you've been converting third downs, you've been making first down. It's about, like, having a winning game plan. So, like, in a lot of ways, right, like a 75 plays is a real good indication of how successful they've been. I mean, completions count as much as runs. You know, like, as long as you're completing and you're running time off the clock, you're, like, aiding the defense. You know, time of possession wasn't like a big – the Chiefs dominated time of possession. So, like, there was no excuse, right, for the run defense. Mm-hmm. Like, they weren't on the field for 40 minutes on Sunday. Like, it wasn't like that. Like, it was the other way. So, you know, you can want to play complimentary-style football. And, you know, like you, there have certainly been games this year where I've been like, hey, you know, like, let's sprinkle in the run a little bit more. Let's have a little bit more conservative game plan. Let's, you know, give this defense a boost. But, you know, I you watch that game, and it's just like, okay, the offense is killing it. Mahomes threw for 450, which is awesome. I'm not about neutering the best quarterback in the NFL, but the defense came up short yet again. And, you know, obviously some blame with that lies with Andy, you know, because he's taking the blame on himself.
Sure,
know?
Yeah.
You know, I'm telling you, Bob, like those three areas, the ball security, special teams, the run defense, I promise you, like if this team loses in the playoffs, those one of those things would be a reason why.
Are you stunned with how bad special teams has been recently, too?
Yeah, it's unusual, man. It's unusual. You know, here's the thing. Tobin's good at his job, and I'm sure he's had some sleepless nights this week, you know. He is the assistant head coach and one of the highest-paid special teams coaches in the football for a reason. Yeah, I think he'll get this thing corrected. I'm confident he'll get this thing corrected, you know. And James Winchester's good at his job, too. You know, it's just that there was a little fluky aspect to that part of it, you know. But they haven't been the dynamic unit they've been all year. You know what, to be fair, the NFL's basically trying to legislate the special team advantage out of the game.
Yeah.
Like, we have to, like, acknowledge that, right, because – what was Dave Tobe's best thing? Like, he was amazing at scheming up kick returns. Well, you know, they're kicking off from a point like, you can just do a touchback every point if you want. Now they're doing it to reduce the number of concussions.
Mm-hmm.
It's juking the stack, okay? So by doing that, you're eliminating one major aspect of what made Tobe so amazing. And guess what? They're not letting you use Tyreek Hill every play on punt return. So I get it, man. I understand, but just understand there's also reasons for stuff happening.
Sure.
Do they have to be better even with that stuff? Sure. But there's a reason we're not seeing the same unit we saw 5 years ago. Like, it's just there's only so much you can do. There's really only so much you can do on with that third team's deal here now.
You worried about Monday night?
You know, I feel like I should be. I'd be interested to hear what you got. I feel like I should be, but I'm not.
I'm with you. I'm with you.
Right?
I don't. Try, yeah. I feel like I should be, but again, at the end of the day, it's the Chargers.
I think they are 4-6
We got a better coach.
A
we got a better quarterback. Yeah. They're 4-6 for a reason. And I just think I don't believe that the Chargers are going to try to, like what Vrabel did on Sunday by sticking to the run may go down as one of the best coach regular season games this year by anybody. Right? He stuck with that run. I just don't see other coaches doing that. And I think if the Chiefs jump out early, Chargers panic and they start throwing the football all over the yard, and that benefits us.
I think, here's the thing, though, right? Like, I feel like if we took a poll in Kansas City of what the Titans would have done, I think running the ball to an excessive degree would have been like 93%. Like, I don't understand how, like, some of this, whatever. At the end of the day, the Chargers certainly do get pass happy. That's because of who their quarterback is. Do I think they'll stick with the run? Probably not. And remember, Andy Reid is 23-3 against the AFC West since 2015. Okay, like they're winning the division. Okay, they're winning the division. The question is, will they get their flaws fixed in time for January?
And that's a great question, and I'm with you on winning the division. All these people that are all of a sudden anointing the Raiders are going to lose to the Jets.
Yeah, listen, hey, Bob, listen, like, I've been like, hey, you know, the Raiders, like, even I've been like, hey, because you know what, Gruden deserves credit. Like, that roster stinks defensively, you know? And, like, they're 5-4 because he understands complimentary football. He knows how lax his roster is. They win on first down. They run the football. They do all this stuff, right? But even I, in the middle of this, is just like, hey, they're not winning this.
No.
And they'll be in this schedule is like really easy down the stretch. That's an 8-8, 9-7 team if I ever saw one. And if they're a 9-7 team this year, that schedule's gonna get a lot harder next year. And they got ways to go to improve that roster. So the Chiefs are winning this division. They're finishing with double-digit wins, and they're winning this division as long as the quarterback stays healthy the rest of the year. That's the only way. The only way that this thing can get fishy.
He's Trez Paylor, Yahoo Sports, our 610 Sports Radio NFL Insider. We'll talk to you next week.
Hey, appreciate it, guys. See you.
Trez Paylor brought to you by Aristocrat Motors, Kansas City's home for luxury automobiles for over 50 years.
Yeah, I know I'm out on an island on myself with this, like running the football on offense and stuff, but I just know, like, I've moved on. I still think you are, like, you're still thinking the defense is going to do better. Like, I've given
no,
up.
I'm not losing I'm not just giving up on the defense right now. Like, get better. You have time to get better. Show some improvement. I don't want you to be a massive liability when the playoffs come, and I don't want to throw this on the offense, because the offense, you go do your thing. Defense, do your job as well. Special right. teams, do your job. Man, the game's so simple.
It is. But for me, I know when you have a Cadillac, and which this offense is a Cadillac, and your defense is, you know, whatever, a two-door spec, you've got the opportunity, not a Specter, but like that car, the two-door spec that they have, that
like
McDonald's
a Citation?
Commercial. Yeah, I don't know. You know, what was a...
An AMC Eagle?
Yeah, Gremlin or something like that. You remember those old...
Pacer?
Yeah,
the Ford Pinto?
There, some bad car that didn't last long, right?
Geo Metro?
is that still around? Is the Neon... I still see a few Neons driving around out there.
A Dodge Neon?
But then it became the Plymouth Neon.
Yeah.
Well, it either went from Plymouth Neon to Dodge Neon or Dodge... I can't remember which
one
it
went. I go, good for you.
You're still running. That car's still going.
You still got that thing plugging along.
My
good for you.
Mother still drives a 98 Corolla.
Nice.
That's dependability.
Now she has
right
to go
there.
In through the window.
Where she gets in Dukes of Hazzard style?
Has no choice. But
are you kidding me
has
right
to
now?
Has to rub two wires together because she lost the ignition key.
Right,
or
there's
whatever.
No heat, but
your
man,
mother,
it runs.
Who turned 69 today, nice, by the way.
Right, happy birthday, Mom.
She gets in the window of her car, Dukes of Hazzard.
Yes,
style.
Has no other choice. The door does not open because if it did, it would fall off. It's like really, it's a 98 Corolla. So she has to go in through the window and get this car going. I mean, it's incredible. But by God, she's not having a car payment. And I don't blame her. You're 69 years old. You do what you nice. Want. You do what you want. You don't have many more years to be driving anyway, so why invest in a car?
You were thinking, though, and it was the same thing when Therese was mentioning the Raiders and Gruden. He's like, he knows he's got terrible defense and he has to play complimentary football
right.
and do those things. And like, in a way you're like, should the Chiefs be doing that?
Right.
And that's been your argument.
But that's been my argument the whole time, because I know where this defense is. I understand what this defense is about. I've accepted what this defense is. If they go out and play like the Minnesota Vikings and the way that they did against Dalvin Cook, that's a bonus. That's a big day. That's hitting the Powerball number, man. That's extra. That's great. That's fantastic. But I'm not counting on that. I'm counting on the defense in my pick three giving me one number and I'm too short and I'm left holding the bag. I'm like, oh, man, I could have won. But I know.
If only I had that Powerball number. Right.
Yeah. But I know with this offense, they're good enough to score from anywhere on the field with any amount of time on the clock. That's why I'll never count them out of a game if it's within a possession or a score with any time on the clock. I'll never count them out. But I also know that they are good enough to play complimentary football to mask this defense. I'd rather ask my Cadillac to do something out of the ordinary and different than to take my Geo Metro and ask them to do something out of the ordinary and different, because I know the Geo Metro, man, I'm going to probably have to push that thing up the hill. I know the Cadillac will get up the hill, whether or not it's going at 100 miles per hour and 100 horsepower, or if I dial it back a little bit. And that's all I'm asking Andy to do, is dial this thing back a little bit, value the possessions a little bit more. I don't need a touchdown on the first play of every possession all the time. It's fun. It's neat. It's great to watch. But at the end of the day, is that what's in the best interest of this football team? Because you could run five or six plays and then, boom, hit it over the top and get your touchdown. That's all I'm asking for.
Time for another edition of Doting on Mahomes.
Our family was and still is with the Chicago Bulls, so we got to live through that experience with Michael Jordan and see it firsthand. That was a special time for the Bulls organization, and Michael did a lot to grow their brand, not only nationally, but on an international basis. And I think certainly to some degree, Patrick gives us that same opportunity.
That was another edition of Doting on Mahomes.
Clark Hunt. Family's part of the Bulls. They own the Chiefs. Saw it firsthand. Mahomes is MJ.
I wonder.
MJ is Mahomes.
And we talked about that a lot earlier in the show. You can check out the podcast at 610sports.com for the MJ Mahomes comparisons. And really, Mahomes is on track right now to be better than Michael Jordan was based on what he's already accomplished and the amount of time that he's been in the league. But I think, will he get there or not? I don't know.
He
but
will
he's
not face a two-year ban ever.
I wouldn't either. Think so. He's too nice of a guy. But I think for listening to that, now I understand why marketing this team internationally has been so big for many years for Clark Hunt. You know, we've always talked about him saying that he wants the Chiefs to be a bigger brand, bigger brand, bigger brand. And you and I are like, I don't really care what kind of brand they are. It doesn't affect me at all. It really doesn't. Like my day will go on whether or not the Chiefs have more jersey sales than the New England. It doesn't matter. But now you understand why, because he's kind of lived through that Michael Jordan deal and saw the way that one player could affect the brand of an organization. Because what are the Chicago Bulls without Michael Jordan, Josh? I mean, be honest with yourselves. What are the Chicago Bulls without Michael Jordan? A bigger market version of Milwaukee Bucks?
Maybe the Knicks?
The Knicks, maybe. I don't know. Are they even the Knicks? I mean,
probably
not. What are they? I mean, you know, they are the Chicago Bulls. They are one of the more popular teams and a team that everybody knows and can relate to because of Michael Jordan. And Clark saw that growing up as a kid with his family's interest in the Chicago Bulls, how one player can make the difference and grow that brand. And I think that's why he has always talked about growing that brand. And now he's got a player, much like the Bulls had Michael Jordan, that can help grow the brand of the Kansas City Chiefs both nationally and internationally. And at the end of the day, that's great for Clark and his family, but at the end, it's not really good for us. Doesn't matter for us.
Speaking of expanding the brand, Clark Hunt also spoke about it yesterday in terms of adding an extra game. Yeah, the 17-game schedule is being talked about by the league.
It's something that we've discussed for probably 10 years, going back to the CBA negotiations in 2011, and it is part of the discussions in this current round of CBA talks. I do think it's something that the league needs to seriously consider. I think reducing the preseason is something that everybody would be in favor of. Replacing a game, perhaps two, with one regular season game. And if you did that, you would have an odd number of games with 17. So one thought is that you could play at least some of those games in a neutral site. And obviously, internationally is one place that we could do it. So it would give the league more inventory to play more international games.
Which you've liked, I know, Bob. And I like it as well. I don't know if you could do it for every single one, that if you had 17, it wouldn't be fair. You're having a home game, road game. How do you give a team more home games 1 year and less home games the next year, or do you just play a neutral site, which I think would be cool. Every team playing a neutral site.
I love
game,
that idea.
Every year. And it doesn't have to be internationally, because I'd rather do them here, but you know, play them at college stadiums or play in cities that are vying to try to get a team, what have you. I'd rather do that in the United States, but I understand why they're doing it. It makes sense. It makes sense for them to play games in London. It makes sense for them to play games in Mexico City. But if you had that 17th game and they were all neutral somehow, that'd be cool.
Yeah, I think ultimately, in my opinion, if you're going to get rid of, he said one or two preseason games for one regular season game, I'm good with that, right?
Which it sounds like that's a trade-off. Two preseason games, adding one regular season game.
Right, and if it's at a neutral site and you have to make sure it, like, if they go in, they say, well, some will be at neutral, no. You can't flip the script in the NFL by giving a team 9 home games and somebody else. Like, let's just use our division as an example. What if, you know, the Raiders next year get 9 home games in Las Vegas and the Chiefs only get 8 home games? That's an advantage for a team getting that extra home game. And I don't think you can do it.
For the Chiefs, debatable.
Yeah, right. But I don't think you can do that that way. The only way the 17-game schedule works is if every person and every team has that 17th game at a neutral site, and it's somewhere where the NFL isn't currently. Whether you want to use those London games, play in Toronto, look at Mexico City, play in some cities around the United States, like maybe a Portland, or maybe you go to a Nebraska and or an Iowa City, or you know, someplace that has a large stadium that can, you know, hold the capacity of an NFL fan base. Those are the types of places that you need to play these games. They can't be a 17th game on the schedule, and then, well, this year we're going to give, you know, this team an extra. No. It doesn't work that way. The NFL is too evenly balanced. Half of the games this year in the NFL have been with 4 points or less or something. I think I saw a stat the other day. You can't give some teams an extra home game if you go to 17. They all have to be neutral. And if it's going to be neutral across the board for as long as the CBA is in place with that 17th game, then I am more than for it. I am 100% plus for having that type of schedule, because I think it would be neat to have that neutral site game for everybody.
Yeah, 17's coming. It's just how they're going to divvy it out.
Yes.
This half hour brought to you by Santa Fe Auto Sound, Kansas City's home for car audio since 1967. He's already the champion, but he wants to keep it going. And they're out. Next.
Fesco in the morning.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.